Welcome back to another episode of Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. Today's guest on Better Than I Found It is Baylor golfer Trey Bosco. Trey is a senior on our team from Austin, Texas. Obviously, we talk about his time here at Baylor and specifically his recent good play. We also discuss his recruitment to Baylor and what his teammates here at Baylor have meant to him through the years. I hope you enjoy getting to know one of our very own a little better. Okay, Better Than I Found It faithful, it's time to meet one of our seniors on the Baylor men's golf team, Trey Bosco of Austin, Texas. Trey, appreciate you sitting down with me today over Christmas break.
Yeah, it's glad to be here. Glad to be back.
Yeah, in fact, you're just back from playing a golf tournament out west, skiing out west, spending time with your family. Did you get some good stuff for Christmas?
I did. The ski trip was more of the big present for Christmas, but yeah, it was great break. Got to see fam, got to hang out with some of my teammates, so it was a good time.
That was really good. You know, for me, that wouldn't be a gift, because I know I'm going to go down that mountain, hit a tree, and it's all over. So,
doesn't sound like much of a gift.
Not much of a gift. I'm not going to go skiing anytime soon. So, Trey, my listeners on Better Than I Found It would love to get to know you a little better. We don't have the advantage of you meeting a lot of the fans. They don't go to golf tournaments. There's not like crowds. It's not like, so they don't really know you. So over the next hour, let them get to know Trey Bosco a little better. So let's start with your home life. You've lived your whole life in Austin, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And by modern day standards, you have a pretty large family. I grew up with 7 kids in my family, so 6 brothers and sisters. You've got 5 kids in your family.
I do. I have an older sister and 3 younger brothers.
Okay. So what is your older sister's name?
She is Sydney Bosco. Well, Sydney Yarbrough now. She got married and lives up in Dallas.
She's made you an uncle, I think.
Mm-hmm. She has.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And you have 3 younger brothers.
Mm-hmm. Ian and Brian, they're twins. They're 18. Freshman year of college for Brian. And then Ian's taking a gap year, trying to figure out college golf and everything. And then Scott is 15 years old, and he's in high school.
Well, you know, I knew all of that, but the listeners obviously didn't. What was it like growing up with so many kids? And it had to be chaotic. And I know your sister was older, mm-hmm. but you still had 4 kids running around, going crazy.
Yeah, constantly. You know, it's interesting, you know, because like you said, now a lot of days, not many big families, but, you know, it was so much fun growing up with all of them because, you know, you have built-in best friends and you get to spend a lot of good time with them. Sure, we didn't get the skiing trips and everything like that just because it's so much money, but it was a lot of fun, very competitive. And...
Well, you know, you say competitive, so you guys played all kinds of sports. I know one of your younger brothers, Ian, was a good little golfer. He was a lefty. He was a good little golfer as a youngster and then went away from golf to play football. Mm-hmm. Talk about how he came back to the game and how you and your mom kind of inspired him to come back.
Yeah, he played golf till about the age of 7 or 8 and then got into football just because all of his friends were doing it and he wanted to be a quarterback, and then he realized that he was going to be 5'8", 5'9", for the rest of his life. And, you know, he saw me playing golf again, and he wanted to try it out and went out to the range one day with me and just fell back in love with golf. And, yeah, I've been helping him out, trying to, you know, get his game where he wants it to be and everything. And he's such a golf nerd. He's more of a golf nerd than I am.
He really is now. I will tell you that.
He loves the game of golf, and he loves everything about it and wants to know more and more every single day. He's constantly texting me, constantly calling me, asking for tips or, hey, my swing coach said this. Can you help me kind of figure that out and put it into a little bit easier terms for me to understand? But, yeah, he's getting there.
So when he had just come back to the game, he tried to play some that summer, but your mom and dad brought him to Olympia Fields in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And so I was following you that day, and literally for 18 holes, Ian, I would tell you something, and you walked up to the green, and then Ian would come over and say, now, what was that? And so he was asking questions all day long that day, and I remember thinking, I got a chance to inspire this kid. He's watching his brother compete in a big Division I golf tournament, but I could tell he was a golf nerd.
He is. He really is. I mean, he's like that to any tournament that he comes with. He's step-by-step there the entire way. He'll go, if I, you know, hit my tee shot in the rough or the fairway, he'll just kind of go out and look to see where my ball is, what kind of shot I got, and then He'll honestly ask me about every single shot that I hit later that round. So
I think you're a good example of how you can be kind to your younger brother, and just the fact you were just going through your process of being a golfer that inspired him. A lot of kids should understand that. So I know that you didn't play every sport, but you played some sports. But how did you get into golf? Your dad was an athlete, but he wasn't a golfer. So who got you into golf initially?
It was my dad, but it was just later on in life. You know, my dad, like you said, he came up playing every single sport. He traveled around a lot. He was, you know, a military brat. My grandpa was in the military, so he was traveling everywhere and just wanted to play every sport that he possibly could to make more friends. And he played golf a little bit when he was younger, but he was mostly in love with football.
Yeah, he played at the University of Texas, right?
He did. He was a wide receiver at the University of Texas.
Not very big. How in the world was he a wide receiver?
He was strong. He was, you know, same height as me, about 5'10", but, I mean, he was 185, 190 pounds and just straight muscle, and that's how you had to be if you're going to play football at that height. And, he got me into golf when I was young. Once he kind of got away from football and everything like that, he fell in love with the game of golf again, and that's how I got brought up into golf.
Well, and I know that he tried to make golf available to you as best he could, but he wasn't there every day all day. He was busy building a very successful flooring business there in Austin. So it's like he made it available to you and gave you an opportunity, but you were the one that went out to the course every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I look at your dad, I'd have to think he was probably inspired you because he was an undersized guy that played Division I football. He was a guy that served in the Coast Guard. He was a guy who built this great business. He's had to be an inspiration.
He's been a huge inspiration. He's shown me what it means to work hard and chase after something that you really want. And, you know, to really be a man about it, you know, put in the work, put in the hours, really do what you have to do to get to where you want to get.
Yeah, you know, he obviously taught you to be respectful because you've always been respectful. Even when we've had disagreements, mm-hmm. You've always been respectful. I've always appreciated that. That, to me, is one of the first signs of good parenting, personally for me. But on the other side of that parental unit would be your mom. And while I didn't get to know her as well, the times I did notice, she's pretty competitive. Like, I think you got your competitive gene from her.
Oh, 100%. She is the most competitive person I've ever met. She has...
Does she have eligibility?
She does. That's where every person in the Bosco family has gotten their competitiveness from. You know, everyone... Her competitiveness combined is all of us. And, you know, it's really instilled, you know, my passion for the game and the passion that I put into anything that I really want to get.
Yeah, she's been a great example for you. So that's your home life. That's who you are as a family man, as a kid, as a brother, as a son. But at what age did you know you were going to be a golfer? Because you're a golfer now. It's not like you do play pickleball.
I do play pickleball.
I know you fish, but mm-hmm. At what age do you know you were a golfer?
Probably about the age of 12. You know, I was still playing flag football, still doing that kind of stuff. But I think at the age of 11 or 12, I really kind of put that in the rearview mirror and, you know, really focused on golf. You know, I knew at a young age that I was pretty good at it and I could go somewhere with it. But yeah, I think that was the age I was.
Okay.
Ready.
And that leads right into my next question, because I met you, didn't meet you. I saw you mm-hmm. for the first time. You were 13 at Breckenridge Park. I think it was the South Texas Junior PGA Tournament of Champions or something.
Something like
but
that.
But it was all the little best young kids in Texas were at this tournament, and that's where I saw you that day at Breckenridge Park. But I couldn't talk to you. Couldn't talk to your parents. I couldn't do any of that. So it was like, okay, that's a pretty good little golf swing. I'll probably follow him eventually. But I saw you pop up at a couple more tournaments, and the next thing I saw you was you were in my office mm-hmm. at Twin Rivers here. It was back when kids could still take unofficial visits before their junior year.
Correct.
And talk about that recruitment, because it's very unusual what you did.
It's a very unusual recruitment. You know, back in that day, obviously you said that you could take unofficial visits, and I wanted to get to talk to you and see where I was at with the Baylor golf program, because I was very intrigued. I've heard the stories of Coach McGraw at OSU and Alabama and everything like that. And, you know, really wanted to, you know, put my name out there and, you know, see where I was at.
Well, I already knew who you were, but I got a call from either you or your dad and said, I'm driving to Dallas today to go take a golf lesson from Cameron McCormick. And I thought, okay, takes golf lessons up in Dallas. Well, that's a long trip. So you guys broke up the trip by stopping in Waco.
Every time. Yeah. Every time I had a lesson, I would make this little detour off to Twin Rivers at the time and come into your office and slowly brought more of the family into the office. And
well, other than your sister, the entire family was in that small office the last time.
Very small office, but we were all in there.
Yeah. And after the fourth visit, I think it was February of your eighth grade year.
Yes.
You called to commit to me, which I was like, wow. You know, I think you were the highest ranked junior player in the state of Texas in your class. So I thought, this is a really good commitment. I'm going to take it. I'd never taken a commitment before the junior year, never taken a commitment from a sophomore. And now I was taking one from an eighth grader.
Yeah.
So essentially, you, when you graduate in May, this May, you will have been on campus not as long as you were actually committed to Baylor.
That is correct. I was committed to Baylor for 4.5 years.
That's
4.5 years I was committed to Baylor.
Well, so I've never really asked you this, and you know, I guess it's different for different kids, but that is an early commitment.
Very early.
And how did you talk your parents into it, or are they the ones that drove that? How did that go?
It was more of my mom and my dad driving that, I think. They were like, hey, if you commit early, you can put that off to the side and you can just focus on golf. You know, a lot of kids, you know, they're playing golf and they're playing to get a spot on a team and everything like that, and their goal in junior golf is, hey, I want to play well enough to where I can go to a program that I really want to go to and everything like that. And I felt like for them to convince me, hey, if you have the opportunity to commit, go for it. Like, just get it out of the way. That way you can put all the focus and all the stress of, you know, trying to be on a college team off to the side, and you can focus and play good golf.
Well, so I know that I had a little bit to do with that because I was interacting with you. I'd watch you at tournaments and those four meetings we had in my office. But aside from what I may have brought to the table, what other things were attractive about Baylor?
The first thing is, you know, the faith about it. You know, it's, you know, private Baptist school. And, you know, once you told me that, you know, you take Christian scriptures and you take all these class and how, you know, Baylor's so faith-based and what, and that's, you know, what I drive my life on is, you know, being faithful and being closer to God. And I thought a school that can just help me do that and automatically just have that built into it was a huge thing. And then obviously when I went on those visits, he showed me the plan of the Billy.
Yeah, we didn't have the new facility yet.
No, we were out at Twin Rivers at just a little driving range area, a little short game area. But then you kept showing me the plans of the Billy, and it looked so promising and it looked so perfect. And I thought, you know, once this is built, this is going to be a top five practice facility in the nation for, you know, golfers. And I couldn't turn that down.
Well, now that I'm looking right over your shoulder to the back wall here, there's the drawing that I would have had in my office at the time. There was no reality to it. That was just
there
a drawing.
It is.
Yeah. I've kept that because I always want to remember, you know, you have a dream, you have a vision, and you strive for it. And I want to tell kids in recruiting, if they come into my office, that was just a dream when we started.
It was.
And you literally made a commitment without that. Mm-hmm. It was just a dream. So you had some faith on that. And luckily, we were able to get it built before you got to campus.
Correct.
And we actually got the clubhouse built before you got to campus. Mm-hmm. So I look back on this, and literally, it was almost 9 years ago when I first saw you hit a golf ball. And we still haven't finished your college career.
So I've finished.
So it's been a lot through there. So I did watch you, and that's an unusual experience for me as a coach, to get a commitment in the eighth grade. So I didn't assume you were coming to Baylor at that time. I assumed it, but I didn't assume it enough to not watch you play. Mm-hmm. So I continued to watch you play. And I would get updates from your high school coach, Eric Henson, who's now at the University of Texas. I would get updates from Cameron McCormick occasionally. And so I watched your career, and nothing ever alarms me, meaning I took the commitment because I know he's good enough to play here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to have some down times, he's going to have some up times, and you did have some down times in that. But you also had, I think, 5 top 6 finishes in national junior tournaments. Mm-hmm. You still had enough good stuff in there that it was, but you also had some down times. I know you were struggling with your golf swing in the summer of 2020. Mm-hmm. So we just started COVID. By the way, I want to ask you about a putting quote that you gave me the spring of your senior year. Do you remember the quote?
I don't remember the, I know the basis of the quote. I don't know.
Before we go on to this summer, it was your senior year, Lake Travis. They just canceled the season. So I'm connecting with all of my future recruits, all my current players.
Right.
You're home taking online school. Mm-hmm. We're through with, but I said, so tell me about your game right now. And you said something to me, I'll paraphrase it. You said, I don't really worry about making putts anymore. I kind of go up and just take an overall view of the line, let the line come to me, and just stroke the putt along that line. And if I don't make it, no problem. You don't make every putt. I just move on. If I've stroked it along the line that I saw, I'm okay with that. Now, that's paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Is that ballpark?
That's definitely ballpark.
Yeah. Well, that time you were struggling in junior golf, one of the things you weren't great at was putting. You were just kind of streaky, but you were kind of average. Mm-hmm. And when you told me that day, I wrote that down in my Stuff That Works journal, which I should have brought with me this morning so I could have quoted you exactly. But it's like, I think he's going to be a good putter. I will tell you, you're one of the better putters that I've coached in 36 years. Now, still occasionally streaky, mm-hmm. not always, but you don't show the stress that you did as a young kid mm-hmm. when you miss putts.
Yeah, for so sure.
It's different because I think you have a self-belief that you are a good putter. Are you a good putter?
I am a good putter.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't think you could have said that at age 17 or even 18.
No, I would have told you I'm an okay putter.
Yeah, I'm an okay putter. You wouldn't have. But that moment, that quote, when you said that to me, I thought, he's made a paradigm shift in his putting, mm-hmm. and you have been a great putter. I think it's one of the reasons you're having a good year this year, too, because you're a great putter, but you're also hitting it better. Mm-hmm. But that summer of 2020, you were struggling with ball striking.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time.
You changed instructors and went to a guy named Brian Gathright, who I've known very well. He's been on this podcast, played tour school with him in 1982. Mm-hmm. He and I go way back. And literally, I think he gave you a golf lesson or two right before this state amateur in 2020.
He did.
So take me through that process and then through how you played that week.
That was a big jump for me because obviously you said with COVID, stuck at home, even, you know, when you go to the golf course, you couldn't really use all the facilities and everything like that. And I went up to the Merido Junior at the time and Johnny Kiefer was caddying for me. Hit it terrible.
Johnny?
Hit it terrible that week. And he comes up to me. He's like, Trey, we need to figure something out. That was awful. I'm like, yeah, I know. And he's like, come see my coach, Brian Gathright. And he's going to help you out. Because at that time, I didn't really have a coach.
You weren't working with Cameron.
I wasn't working with Cameron. I was just kind of figuring it out on my own. And I was like, okay. And I go down. And in the first lesson, I think I hit 3 or 4 golf shots. And Brian comes up to me, he's like, are you ready to make a big change in your golf game that I think is going to help you a lot? And we strengthened my grip. We changed a bunch of things with the takeaway, the downswing, everything like that. Just a huge, huge change. I mean, for a month, I only hit half golf shots with an 8-iron and then worked up to full swings and everything like that. And still wasn't hitting it all that great. Went to the Texas A&M qualifier. Shot 68, but it was because of my putting. I wasn't mm-hmm. really hitting it all that good. I was hitting it good enough to shoot a 68.
Where was the qualifier?
It was at Lighthouse Country Club out in Horseshoe Bay or something mm-hmm. like that. And got into the Texas Am. And once I got into that, I told Brian, hey, I'm going to work really hard for these 2 or 3 weeks before this tournament. And I want to go win this thing. And
You weren't playing well enough to win the state.
I wasn't playing well enough. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to have a shot at winning this thing.
Well, I know I didn't get to see it in person, but I followed it online. And it was at Boot Ranch.
It was at Boot Ranch.
And a really nice place, by the way.
Very nice, but one of the worst walking golf courses
I've ever been. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it's one of the worst golf courses. And it was in the middle of August or whatever.
It was 105 and they were shuttling us everywhere, and everyone was dying.
So let's say you play well early in the week, and you get in contention, and you're leading, How were you able to overcome demons the final round to hang on and win that golf tournament?
It was tough because I did have demons. Mm-hmm. I did have, you know, trying not to revert back to old habits of, you know, I used to play the big swinging draw. And, you know, Brian was trying to have me hit more of like a little baby draw at the time. And so, you know, it was hard. I was battling a lot of demons, especially with the driver. But it just went back to the belief of I worked really hard and me and Brian are doing the right things and, you know, put it all together.
Well, you ended up hanging on to win. And I don't know if you're the youngest, but you're one of the youngest men's state amateur champions in the history of Texas. Mm-hmm. 18 years old. That's a pretty good accomplishment. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
For 3.5 years ago.
Yep.
But I wanted to hear that story because you literally came from nowhere because you weren't playing well enough to win a state amateur.
Yeah.
So like a week later, you're on campus as a freshman, and essentially because of COVID, we stuffed you and your roommate, Luke Morgan from Guthrie, Oklahoma, in an apartment and said, we'll let you know when you come out.
Yep.
COVID was a challenge. Mm-hmm. But we were able to get out. And so I want you to describe that year, even though it changed a little bit as the year went on. It was like you and Luke got to know each other pretty well because you had to sit and talk in the common area of that apartment mm-hmm. every night. There was nowhere you could go.
Nope. The first 2 weeks, me and Luke get to Baylor and they're like, all right, you can be either in this apartment or you can go to the bank and get food. But other than that, that's about the only thing you can do. And so for 2 weeks, couldn't practice, couldn't do anything. I mean, for the first semester, me and Luke didn't really talk all that much. He was a little homesick. I was, you know, not trying to get COVID and everything like that. So we would just kind of separate a little bit. But then the second semester is where we really got to know each other and become really good friends. And now, you know, we're still roommates to this day. And, you know, he's become like a brother to me. And he's been awesome.
Yeah, I would say the two of you, it's obvious you are like peas and carrots. I mean, you're together mm-hmm. all the time, great friends. You will be for life, mm-hmm. there's no doubt.
No doubt.
Okay, so the COVID year was a little bit of a challenge, and we got through it, and like the rest of the world got through it. But if I just could have put a snapshot of your first 3 years at Baylor, you had some bright spots. Mm-hmm. I think you had 4 top 5 finishes in tournaments. Mm-hmm. So it was like every once in a while you'd jump up there and have a really good finish. But the consistency wasn't there. This year, we see a much improved Trey Bosco, which Baylor desperately wants.
For sure.
Because it's really going to make us a lot better golf team. But so I'll just describe the last 2 tournaments that you've played. One was our last team tournament in Hawaii in November. You shot 66, 68, 68. We're in contention in the final round with a chance to win. You finished tied for 5th. Mm-hmm. And then you just went out to Arizona for the Thunderbolt about a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And your final round, 64, bypassed a bunch of people, and you finished 6th there. 64, 8 under. Was that bogey-free?
Bogey-free.
Yeah. So, like, what's the resurgence? What has spurred on this really good golf? Because we're excited to see it, and especially because you have a great spring season ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the biggest thing about the better golf now is just the knowledge of my own game, knowing how to play my game. I know that I'm not the longest guy out there, but I've been striving to hit my driver straighter, be in play more often because my ball striking has been good for a while now. I'm hitting cuts now.
Oh, and I love to see it ball left to right.
Little butter cut off the tee. Everyone on the team knows it. They love it, and I love it too. It's so consistent, and me and Brian have been working really hard on that. And I think, like you said, obviously is also putting. I've worked really hard on my putting to get it to where it needs to be. And, you know, I'm a fast player, mm-hmm. very fast player. I love playing fast golf. I think slow golf should be illegal.
Well, honestly, I think you'd play a whole lot better if you got to play in the first group in a twosome with nobody in front of you.
Oh, for sure.
So you're going to have to learn over the years how to play with slow players that are and weights on tee boxes. Mm-hmm. That's painful for you.
And that's what Coach Alcorn has been so mm-hmm. instrumental with me about is you're going to play with slow golfers. You know your pace, but there's going to be some times that pace is going to be interrupted. You know, you're going to have a wait on the tee. You're going to be waiting in the fairway, or someone's going to have a ruling and you can't go. And he's like, okay, once you get up to your ball, if you have a weight, shoot the yardage, but leave the club in the bag. Mm-hmm. I tend to take the club out of the bag early, you know, walk around the tee box, swinging it, not really focused on what I need to do. He said, leave the club in the bag. Once it's your turn, then you go through, you know, my fast routine that I have. I just kind of shoot the ball, shoot the pin, look at it, look at the wind, everything that I need to do, pull the club, maybe a practice swing, get up to the ball, look at it, go. But wait on that. I would tend to just not focus on it.
I think that's great advice, because if you can do everything you can to be in your own pre-shot routine before every shot, mm-hmm. but you can't if it's a slow round of golf, you've got to work to get to that spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good advice. So one thing I noticed when I was in Hawaii, I decided not to walk with one player. I just kind of went from group to group. And every time I saw you, you had a smile on your face. Every time I saw you, pretty much in the fairway. You just seemed much more at peace. And I think that will be the biggest thing for you this spring, is if you can stay in that. Mm-hmm. You're playing better, so there's going to come along expectations with that.
Right.
You can stay at the same level of I'm at peace. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to play great. So let's keep that going.
For sure.
And definitely get it to the finish line here this spring. But, we haven't really talked about too much negative, but what would you say is the biggest challenges for you in college? Like if you were talking to a young kid, like, wow, this was different, or...
It was, for me, it was... Obviously, academics are a little bit different for college and high school. High school, you can kind of just breeze by, get an easy 4.0, and then you come to college, and being a college athlete, being a college golfer, you're traveling all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where time management has become super important. You learn how to manage your time and what you need to be doing. Hey, I need to go practice for this long, but then after that, I really need to go hit the books or do some homework, or I have a test, or like you get to midterms or finals week, and then you're having to study for two tests in one day. And so it's just a matter of making sure you're putting your time into the right things, not dazing off, or I don't really have anything, I'm gonna put it off till then, or I'm gonna wait till the last minute to do this assignment, or
would,
anything
would
like
you
that.
Say like any other human, procrastination could be a
it's a weakness. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. And that's where college golf isn't for everyone. You get here and you're like, I have no free time. I have no time to myself. But, that's what you sign up for. Mm-hmm. You sign up for the challenges, and you sign up for, if you're playing well, you're traveling everywhere. And this spring, if you make it to every tournament, you're going to be gone.
A bunch.
And so,
most guys that I talk to, if I say what's the biggest surprise or whatever change from high school, it is learning to manage your time, because – either your parents were helping you manage that when you, now you're doing it on your own.
It's all you. It's all on you.
It's pretty much on you. So, and I know you made some mistakes. And I know you've made some improvements too. So, mm-hmm. Biggest surprise like that I did not expect out of college. It could have to do with golf or school or anything.
Everyone is good at golf. Mm. Everyone's good at golf. Anyone from any team, from any position, can play well that week. And that was the biggest surprise to me. Is yeah, sure, you have your number one guys, but you never know when the four or five guy is just going to pop out and win a golf tournament every now and then.
The four and five guy in a high school didn't necessarily win a golf tournament.
It was just kind of like, can you please kind of just put together some rounds so we can finish high? This is everyone is good. And that's what I noticed about Baylor when I got here, is in qualifying, everyone was competing for the top spot and everyone could do it. Anyone at any given time can go out and shoot a 65. Anyone can do that.
Can you dial some of those up this spring for me?
I'm trying my best.
You did shoot 64 your last round out, so we'll hopefully you can build on that. Mm-hmm. So other interests outside of golf, because you've done as good a job of anybody I've pretty much ever coached, that once you've left the golf course, you truly leave it. I was not able to do that as a player. Mm. When I left the golf course, if I didn't get the result I wanted or whatever, I would think about it all evening and stress about it and worry about it. You flip the switch and go on to the next thing. So you do a good job of that. What are your other interests?
My other interests, I love hunting, I love fishing. I love just being outside. I love being active, doing stuff to keep my hands busy and everything like that. Just stuff like that. I love playing pickleball with the guys. I love going to the slick and playing some pickup basketball with the guys. I know you guys don't love that all as much just because of injuries.
I can't choreograph every step you make. I just say be careful.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're an outdoor guy for sure. You like what are your favorite movies, that type of thing? What do you like to watch?
Oh, I'm a big movie guy. I'll watch any movie under the sun.
Have you seen Killers of the Flower Moon?
I have not, but I've heard it's a really good movie.
You got to see that. That's incredible. It was basically a movie about this beginning of the FBI, and it was in Oklahoma where I grew up.
I really want to go see that new movie, The Boys in the Boat.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
My dad just read the book. He said the book was incredible.
The book's incredible.
The movie looks incredible, so I really want to go see that.
So you're a movie guy, too. Okay, I'm going to do a speed round with you. I'm going to bring the speed round back. We haven't done that in a while on this podcast.
I'm ready.
But before we do that, what's your best piece of advice for a 13-year-old golfer, that same 13-year-old golfer that I saw at Breckenridge Park in 2015? What's your best piece of advice for a kid who wants to play college golf?
I'm going to give the same advice that I give to any kid that I see on the driving range at Escondido or the Hills that comes up to me. Play a lot of golf. Mm. Play. Go out and play. Just that's something that I wish I did more when I was younger. I was a range rat, or you know, I would always beat balls to death, and I thought that's how I was going to get better. But I would say go play golf, but also make it fun. I think kids nowadays that at too young of an age, they make it a job rather than having it be a game and having it be fun. And that's where the passion really comes out. And, you know, just have fun. Play games with your buddies or play games on the range or just do something to where it's still fun and you still have that joy and that passion for the game that you first had when you first started.
Are you having more fun right now playing golf?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. There was a while that I didn't have much passion for it, but
I remember that.
I've found a new passion and I know how to keep it fun and I know what to do.
I love it. Let's hope your teammates this spring do the same. Mm-hmm. All right, before we finish, we're going to do this speed round. So some of these questions I've never asked before and some are standards when I used to have the speed round. Mm-hmm. All right, remember the Titans or Shawshank Redemption?
Remember the Titans.
That's a good one. That's a good one for a team. Chipotle or Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A. I have to go Chick-fil-A. I get it pretty much almost every morning for breakfast, so I have to go Chick-fil-A.
Well, your teammate Zach Heffernan would go to Chipotle.
Every day.
Every single day. Okay. Zach Bryan or George Strait?
George Strait.
Thank
you. I mean, come on.
Okay. You know, that's one of the things I really like about you.
King of country. How can he go away from that?
He's the king. Last book you read cover to cover?
Oh, gosh. We're going back into the memory bank for that one. Actually, it was 7 Days in Utopia, but the part two of it.
Part two. This
part two, the second one.
Okay, very good. Okay, so that's good. David Cook, a Baylor grad, will love hearing that. Your favorite professional sports team?
Dallas Cowboys. I'm a Cowboys fan. Grew up a Cowboys fan.
They going to beat the Packers this week?
I sure hope so, because if they don't, I'm going to hear it every single day from Jonas Appel.
Yeah. I can't believe I've got a kid on my team. It's a Packers fan.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Kills me. Favorite PGA Tour player and why?
I mean, obviously you could give the Tiger Woods answer, but I'm gonna go with Justin Thomas. I like to think that my swing looks like him, but yeah, Justin Thomas. I love his tempo.
Wow. Yeah. What a player. If you couldn't have played college golf, what sport would you have played? Don't say basketball. You're 5'10", maybe.
I would love to play basketball.
Really?
I love it. It's so much fun. I love going to the Slick and playing basketball. I think it's just so much fun. I love going to basketball games. I was just at the one last night. So.
Can you shoot the tray?
Oh, that's all I shoot.
That's your name.
that's my name.
And by the way, people should know Trey is because you're David Bosco III.
I am the third.
So that's Trey.
I'm the third.
Okay. Best pickleball player on the team?
Drew Wrightson.
Keep on hearing that from guys, so apparently he's pretty good.
He's very competitive with it.
Okay, the best shot you've ever hit in a BU uniform in competition?
In competition? I would say the 18th hole, the Minnesota Individual Tournament, Pioneer Creek. I hit a 5-iron to about 8 feet and made the putt for Eagle to win the golf tournament.
Wow. Now, you had a kid you played with that week. That made a double eagle on the same hole at one point.
Yes, he did.
Okay. He didn't win the golf tournament.
He did not.
okay, I remember that very well. That was great. That was a big, big victory for you because it kind of changed your whole I don't know, it, trajectory.
It gave me the idea that I can do this and I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. Favorite course you've played in college?
Oh, that's so tough. It's either between Olympia Fields or Twin Dolphins in Cabo. I think both those courses are incredible.
Wow, I like that. Twin Dolphins are pretty good spot to be.
It's a very good track, and the view is unbeatable.
The views are beautiful, but Olympia Fields is a fantastic golf course. The course you'd most like to play that you've never played in your life?
Augusta
National.
Augusta.
I think every young kid grows up thinking that'd be a good place to play. Favorite Coach McGraw quirk? Something I do that is different.
Different? Should I talk about your driving?
You may.
I think that's the quirk that I would have to go with is your driving
abilities.
You don't
think I'm the greatest driver.
No, and I've told you that to your face. And I know when we get rental cars, I don't ride with you.
Okay. Just everybody knows, I once held a CDL, commercial driver's license, in Oklahoma.
He did.
I think I'm a fantastic driver. I think that you and your roommate, Luke, who drives too fast, just don't understand what a good driver is. But okay, final question. Your dream foursome, you and three others.
My dad. My little brother, Ian, and I would have to say Tiger.
Wow.
I think that foursome right there would have fun any day of the week.
Who's going to win that match?
Probably me.
Okay,
probably
you're going to beat Tiger because I don't know if you've seen his golf swing lately. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All right. Well, listen, Trey, thanks again for joining me today. It's great. Every year I do... podcast, I've done the seniors on the team, and you've been an easy guy to talk to, great interview, and I'm really excited to travel with you this spring. We go to a lot of neat places, Palm Springs, Cabo, Whispering Pines down in Trinity, Texas. I'm just excited about our spring season together.
Very excited.
All right.
Ready to get going.
All right, let's go get them.
Yes, sir.